What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hindsightless, the sporadic podcast where I talk about life, role-playing games, or whatever else might be running around the side of my head, but mostly role-playing games because they change editions just like podcasting platforms change editions, and it's all a mess, right? It's all a mess. How many editions are there? Who knows? I don't know. Let's get into the show. All right, so I have updated my anchor to log in through Spotify, I guess. I did it on my laptop, but nothing seems to have changed to my phone, the phone app yet. It didn't ask me to log in through a different password or anything, and that password wouldn't have automatically shared, I don't think, from laptop to phone like that. But so yeah, that was a fairly painless process. Like I said, I already had a Spotify account. I just never used it. So that buys at least another month. You know, I'm pretty sure that till June now. So hey, there we go. Right on. But yeah, so I'm putting out another episode. I got some awesome calls. I got a couple awesome calls from folks that I'm excited about from my last, from my Ramblecast, my drunken Ramblecast. That was a good time. You know, if nothing else, those are sweet, like, they'll be up there for posterity, right? When I'm old and kind of going senile, I could throw on episode, whatever, 509 and just listen to my drunken self ramble about awesome stuff. So I guess there is that, right? Oh, man. But yeah, that's it. Played some more Reaver. Last night at time of recording, and that's really fun. That campaign is just great, and especially now that Joe has made a map of the Reaver world, a really amazing map, with all the geographical features, the rivers, the mountains, the forests, the valleys, all the towns and kingdoms and strongholds, roads. It's a friggin' beautiful, brilliant map. And it's just, for me, I don't know if I've already talked about this online or on the show, but I've talked about it before. Once he put that map up, even though I've been in the game for months now, we play every other week. But since that map has gone up, I have such a better sense for the world of where everything is in relationship to everything else. And it just makes me feel so much more invested in the world, just like not even invested, but also like part of the world. I can picture it a lot more now in my mind, especially when we play. And it's just given me a ton of ideas, right? Now it's like, shit, let's play some Risk. Because in this campaign, there's been an invasion partly headed by these red wizards. They've taken over a major city that's fairly, you know, relatively close to where our group is set and where the, like, you know, some of the quote unquote good guys are. There's a loose coalition of smaller kingdoms that are getting ready to prepare against this invasion, and it's so cool. I'm just looking at the map. Okay, this town is friendly, this town is taken, you know, let's go free this town. Right now we have to deal with, there's a group of refugees that have been rounded up and are being led by this kind of crazy soldier lady, the Gray Fox. And she's turned these refugees, these hungry, starving refugees, into raiders. And they've raided a few villages. They burned down a farmhouse. They've killed some people. We tried to send out, our group tried to send out some envoys to them to be like, hey, let's talk. Let's friggin', you know, maybe we can be friends. And she killed one of the envoys and sent his head back to us in a basket. And it's just like, all right, well, this lady, you know, she's had a rough pass, but that doesn't excuse wanton, cold-blooded murder, which she's committed. And she seems like a zealot. She's an anarchist, basically. She's super against any form of authority figure, which, you know, there's a part of me, I was like, I hear you, sister. I hear you. I do. But yeah, so she's sort of bad news. So in the session before last session, our group, the actual PCs, tracked her down and made contact with her and basically said, look, we don't want to fight. She's like, they're a rabble, right? So there's like 60 some people, men, young men, old men, women, children, all 60 people. They don't have armor. They don't have weapons. They don't know how to fight, but they could get whipped up into a frenzy possibly. And then the Gray Fox has like 10 or so like dedicated soldiers that are with her, you know? And so we told her, like, look, we don't want to fight. We'll bring you guys some food because they're all starving. It's winter time. There's not a lot of hunting. Again, it's a war-torn area, so there's not a lot of food around. So these people are starving. We're like, look, we'll bring you food, but we don't want you raiding in this area. Like, go away. Go over there. Go raid over there. Go raid on the other side of the mountains, damn it. And so when we left, one of the characters, Askold, who's sort of like a super mystical spellcastery, divine castery, tapping into the unknown, a really cool character, he decided after the Gray Fox showed some romantic interest in Askold, Askold decided, I'm going to stay while you guys go back. It'd be like a week that will be gone, that he'll be in this camp alone, because it's a couple days from where Gray Fox and her people are to where the PCs are set. A couple days there, you know, a day or two to get everything together, and then a couple days back. So close, you know, 5 days or so, 5 or 6 days, that Askold's going to be by himself there in this crazy camp. And that was a session before last. And in this session that we just played, unfortunately, the player of Askold couldn't be there. So, because in the meantime, we talked, like, we got to take this lady out. She's crazy. But Askold's player was like, no, we shouldn't take her out. So, I think the ostensible plan is to try and get her people. Like, hey, come with us, folks. Like, we have farmland that you can till. You know, you have crafts. You have craft skills. We have places you can work. There, you know, there's farmers. There's architects. There's bricklayers. There's, you know, masons. All sorts of stuff. So we want to be like people. Don't be raiders. Like, come be a productive part of society right now. Now's the time, right? These are landless people, and in our region, in the PC's region, like the Baron we're working for, and one of the PCs actually is a landowner with a, you know, like a parcel of land, a big area of land, and a lot of people have been killed in the initial invasion and stuff. So there's a lot of free land out there right now that these people could come and take and become part of something bigger and better. So that's what we're going to try and do, is get these people away from the Gray Fox in a non-violent manner. But we kind of get the feeling from our interactions with Gray Fox last time that that's not going to go very smoothly. And so what we didn't want to do without the player of Askold being there is to go up there and start a fight with the Gray Fox without, you know, that player's input on what to do. So we decided that we weren't going to do. We're going to play all the way up to, you know, where we, like, right at the foot of their camp, basically, before we go make contact with the Gray Fox. That's where we ended the session. And most of the session was dedicated to, like, figuring out which soldiers we're going to bring, you know, how many soldiers can we take? We're supposed to be guarding this fort that's on the pass between the mountains, guarding this bridge, you know, where the bad guy army would have to come through. So we have a small contingency there right now. It's winter time, like I said, but anyway, so yeah, the crux of the session was how many soldiers, which soldiers, how much food, what kind of food are we going to take? And then we set out. And on the way, as my character Wolfgar was on guard, he hears some hooting out in the forest and he goes and looks around and he spots some goddamn Sasquatch, some Bigfoot. And I personally, as a player, got wildly, wildly excited. I love me some Sam Squanch. I love Bigfoot stuff. And our dungeon master, Joe, the amazing Joe Salvador, he has a little bit of Bigfoot knowledge too. I saw it, Joe. I saw your Bigfoot knowledge. You and I probably watched some of the same videos. He had the hooting, the tree knocking, the throwing of things at the camp. It was all there. I was super friggin' pumped. But from what I hear before I joined the game, you know, way, way months and months ago, the party actually ran into a pack of these things and got their asses handed to them by these things. And I was running around in the woods chasing after them by myself. It was awesome. It was fun. I was just pumped as a player to have some goddamn Bigfoot in a game and it feel like a goddamn Bigfoot encounter. It was awesome. And yeah, that was basically the end of the session. We packed up the next morning, went off to the right at the foot of the camp, and boom, that was the end of the session. And it was a perfect, it was a fun session. We got a lot of important stuff done, and it was fun. And yeah, next time we get back together, I think the whole crew will be there. And that way, you know, we can come to a consensus as a group on how we want to handle this and how we want Gray Fox to be dealt with. Because she's committed some serious crimes, cold-blooded murder. Yeah, so we got to figure that shit out, you know? And it's a sword and sorcery campaign, like, setting. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. But it was a really fun session. It's a great game. I'm super excited for the Reaver Kickstarter to come out. The system itself is fantastic. I love it. It works off a dice chain. You know, so you're rolling, when you get bonuses, basically it bumps up the level of your dice. So say you have a D8 for one of your stats, and then you get a +2 bonus. It goes from a D8 to a D10 to a D12, and you roll a, you know, you roll a die, and you got to get a 4 or better. So the bigger the die, the more chances you have of getting a 4 or better, but that 1, 2, and 3, those are on every die. So it's a cool, fun system, and I'm really excited for it to come out on Kickstarter, and I will definitely let y'all know. All right, let's get into some calls. Starting off, we're going to go with someone we haven't heard from for a while or very often on this show, but it's our buddy James Knight calling in from London. He's got something to say about, yeah, the Wall of Fame, dude. Having my name carved into the women's room, a stall in the women's room of a super, super sweet dive bar. So, Mr. Knight, take it away, dude.
Joe Richter, a name so legendary it is carved upon the bathroom walls of Seattle to live on in infamy forevermore. Hey, Joey, it's James Knight calling from over here in London in the UK. Sorry, I've not called for ages, and this call doesn't have anything in particular to respond to, aside from I just finished listening to your latest episode with its pleasing tipsy ramble that gave me the inspiration for the intro of this call. And I just wanted to say that I know that Jason recently announced that he's going to be putting down the mic. And I know that you mentioned in your latest episode that the corporations behind these podcasting platforms are making it increasingly difficult for you to publish. And that sucks. But as I said to Jason, you know, you just got to do what's right for you. So if publishing podcasts is becoming a massive ball ache, then, you know, I don't want that for you. You know, I want life to be cool. So I just wanted to say that you keep putting the podcast out, and I'll definitely keep listening. You've got a listener here. I love the pod. Always brings me a little bit of joy when it arrives in the feed. But also, if it's a total pain, you just got to do what's right for you, buddy. All right, signing out. Take care. Bye-bye.
What a lovely message. Seriously, thank you so much, James. Yeah, dude. I still, it is such a mystery of who carved my name into a stall in the ladies' room in that bar. I don't know. Was it carved in anger? Was it carved in joy? Was it carved in lust? So many questions. You don't carve somebody's name into a wall if you have no feelings about them at all. That's not a neutral act. It could be an act of anger or an act of positive emotions, but not a neutral act. You don't just, anyway, man. But yeah, as you heard at the start of the show, I pushed out my timeline, I believe, at least another month. So I think in June now is when Spotify for Podcasters is demanding that we switch over to Riverside because they will no longer be offering the services they do. So once that happens, we'll see. We'll see what happens then. I'm not making any promises. I did the bare minimum that I had to do to keep podcasting the way I've been podcasting for the past, shit, going on 5 years now, probably. Huh, I'll have to look at that before next episode, or maybe before I sign out from this episode. But we'll see, man. Anyway, James, thank you for the call. Thank you for the amazing kind words. And it was really, really good to hear from you, dude. Like, I've been saying it for a while now, but I really, really, really need to get over to the UK. My mom has been to Europe 3 times since she's retired, twice in a calendar year, this past calendar year. So in 365 days, not, so I guess not a calendar year, whatever you would call that, you know. In 365 days, my mom went to Europe 2 times. So I've never been anywhere in Europe, and I need to get over to the UK. I need to. There are just too many amazing people that I would love to see and places I would love to go and food I want to eat and beers I want to drink and games I want to play with rad dudes, with cool dudes. Oh man, one of these days, man, I'm just gonna have to sack up, pull the trigger, and just do it. You know, it's just such a long ass flight because you got to fly all the way across the big ass United States first, and then fly across the Atlantic. So it's just like, oh man. So I don't know. Maybe I'll plan like a crazy trip where I fly out to the East Coast and spend a couple days there catching up with some awesome rad dudes with cool dudes that are on the East Coast. I don't know. These are grand plans, man. Plots and schemes, hopes and dreams. We'll see. Anyway, dude, thank you again. Up next, we got BJ, man. The arcane alienist himself with some thoughts on Charlie Sheen and some dreams, and we're just going to get into it because they're pretty awesome. All right, let's do it. Where's the button? Here it is.
Hey, Joe, it's BJ. So you guys were talking about wisdom, and then you got off on Emilio Estevez, and then you got off on Men at Work. I love that movie. But one of the funniest things related to Men at Work being a bad movie, I mean, I think a lot of people enjoyed that movie, but it's generally considered not a great movie. I guess in the grand scheme of things, was it was years after that movie came out. This is back in the 90s. Charlie Sheen was hosting an episode of Saturday Night Live. It might have been the early 2000s. He was hosting an episode of Saturday Night Live, and he's taking questions from the audience. And this guy goes, "Hey man, you know that movie you did with your brother?" He's like, "Oh yeah, yeah. You mean Men at Work? Yeah, I know that movie. I remember that movie." He goes, "I saw that movie." And Charlie Sheen just shakes his head. He goes, "I'm sorry, man." And he goes, "No, man, I took a date to see that movie." And Charlie Sheen like shakes his head, reaches in his pocket, and pulls out like $20 and gives it to the guy. He's like, "I'm so sorry." So that, you know, obviously it's a planted audience member. That was so funny. But yeah, I remember that movie really well. The other thing, while I'm on the tangent of that episode of SNL, the reason he was hosting SNL is because he just replaced Michael J. Fox on Spin City, so he's playing like the deputy mayor of New York City. And his dad, Martin Sheen, had just started on the West Wing, and so the other funny, and George Bush had just become president, so I guess this was around 2000, wasn't it? He says, hey, you're playing the mayor of a city in your new show, and your dad is playing the president. Do you have any aspirations to ever play the president of the United States? And Charlie Sheen goes, no. Just because my dad could be president, why on earth would you think I could be president? You know, so, yeah, another funny joke from that particular monologue. Back when SNL was funny. You know, everybody always says back when SNL was funny. Sometimes it's still funny. Maybe not as funny as it used to be, but they get some good stuff in there every now and then. So, fortunately, it shows up on YouTube, and you can just see the highlights, you know, a couple days later. But, all right, I've rambled on long enough. And I'm not even drunk, man. I'm just sitting here listening to your show. So, I'll talk to you later.
Man, dude. BJ, that monologue sounds amazing. Charlie Sheen, before he went too crazy, was, I always thought he was pretty sweet. Like, from way back in the day, in the 80s movies. Yeah, I just always thought Charlie Sheen was cool. But then he just went off the rails, you know, as so many people often do. But I looked for that Saturday Night Live monologue because I wanted to watch it. It sounds hilarious. I couldn't find it on YouTube, though. I was going to post a link, but I couldn't find it. I'm glad there is at least one other person out there, though, that enjoys themselves some Men at Work, starring Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez. Again, it's been probably, I don't know, 3 decades since I've seen that movie. Less than that, but not much less than that. But it does hold a soft spot in my heart. I love it. I agree with you, though. I wouldn't consider it a good movie. It's just a movie that I love. And that's awesome that you enjoy it as well, man. So thank you for that. Now let's talk about dreams. See, let's talk a little bit about dreams. It was all a dream. I used to read What Up magazine. Salt and Pepper and Heavy D up in a limousine. That was really dumb.
Oh, yeah. Another thing you were talking about, you know, it's all a dream. And hey, I'm mad at you because you cheated on me in a dream and I'm mad at you. I was going to tell you, that's about maybe about 20 years ago, maybe. I was painfully woken in the night to a pain in my knee because my wife had kicked the shit out of me in my sleep because it was that exact same thing. She had a dream I was cheating on her, and she kind of half woke up and was in that state where you're aware enough of your surroundings, but you're still kind of in the dream. And she kind of woke up and looked over and saw me there, just kicked me. And I woke up, was like, ow! And as soon as I woke up and screamed, she realized what had happened. It was like, oh no! But yeah, so that doesn't just happen in the movies. All right, I'll talk to you later.
That's the story for sure, BJ. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, no, I know that trope. I guess it's a trope because it's in a lot of things where, you know, one of the partners in a relationship wakes up, you cheated on me, in their dream. But yeah, no, I'm glad that as soon as your wife woke up, she realized, because the bad ones are, right? The main stories you hear about are when the person, even after being awake for a while, is still pissed off about it. And they're like, well, why would I dream that unless there was a reason for me to dream that? And it's like, ow, that's kind of a red flag. That's a big red flag there. If somebody's doing that, yeah, watch out, man. Anyway, dude, thank you for sharing that story. I hope your knee was all right, dude. I'm sure it was. It's a rough way to get woken up. But yeah, man, thank you for that. All right, let's get into the last call, which is from our dear, dear, dear friend, Jason. He's going to be talking about, we briefly talked about on my last episode, getting rid of mental stats and things like that. And so that's what Jason's got in store for us. Jason, you're up, dude.
Hey, Joe, Jason here. Drunk intros and outros are great. Really enjoyed those. You know, with the idea of getting rid of mental stats, like I say, I'm not against having, like, education and maybe, like, piety and some other things, maybe traits. But, like, intelligence, what do you always hear from people complain about? Oh, it's hard to play somebody dumber than you. Oh, it's really hard to play somebody smarter than you. Well, if you get rid of intelligence, you don't have to worry about that. And ultimately, the education level, you know, would affect the skills and their initial book learning, but it won't limit the character going forward. And you know what? If you want to play somebody that's dumb as a box of rocks or somebody that's super smart, if you don't have a stat there, you can still do that. There's nothing stopping you from doing that. So, yeah, I don't see what the issue is. Are there ways to play characters that are dumber than you or smarter than you? Sure there are. You know, for smarter than you, you can either source the table and ask other people, hey, what do you think about this? And then answer whatever the table kind of agrees is a smart thing to say. Or you can just be a smug asshole, I guess, also works. I'm not saying all smart people are smug assholes, but if you're not super smart, that's a way to pretend you're smart, I guess. I don't know. I'm open to suggestions on better ways to do that. But take care of yourself, and I'll talk to you later.
Totally, man. I'm not saying you can't, you know, play someone smarter or dumber or less wise or less charismatic than yourself, but it's a little tougher, I think. You know, I really, excuse me, I really liked what Paizo did that we've talked about before with Xanthier Vang, the crazy smart wizard that you guys fought, you know, at the end of book two, at the end of book three, at the end of book three. Yeah. Where they listed what he'd do round by round. I thought that was a really good way, but that's, you know, an NPC. So, yeah, sourcing the table, that's a way to do it, because while nobody at the table will be a super genius, like, you know, someone with a 18, 19 intelligence, together, multiple brains, you can come up with some pretty good ideas for sure. So, that, yeah, that's totally one way to do it. It's absolutely doable, for sure. It would just be weird to me, you know, would I... You know, there's plenty of things in gaming that can be done and that are done that I'm not all that interested in. I don't know. I feel like that might be kind of one of them. I like the education system. Call of Cthulhu has that education system or education stat, but it's, if I'm remembering right, it's a, that stat is based off of like two of your other stats, I think that might not be right. I don't remember now. It's been a while since I made a Call of Cthulhu character, but I do like their, that they have education as a stat. Anyway, man, thank you for that call. And yeah, it's always good to hear from you, Jason. So let me get out of here. I think it's time. All right. Let's wrap this one up. Thank you so much for the calls from James Knight, BJ, and Jason. You dudes are awesome. The calls really help, you know, keep the desire going. Even though we're not in the golden age of podcasting, especially in the Anchorverse, where everyone was sending message to everybody else, and it was just such a cool time. I'm glad I was able to come in at least at the tail end of it. Though I think I was around for a little more than the tail end of it. But it was just, that was such a cool time, right? When, you know, there were so many people out there sending messages to each other with their own shows, and now a bunch of those shows are gone. Might be losing more, you know, a few new ones have popped up, which is awesome. It's just a different time, right? It's just a different time. And yeah, weird stuff. But like I said, I'm going to stick around for at least another month through, or maybe to June, depending on what Spotify does. So that's cool, man. That's good news. And I really hope that y'all were able to hear BJ's second message where he's talking about the dream, because Anchor was doing that thing where it won't play the audio from the phone. you know, when you upload a message, sometimes when you go back to listen to that message on the phone when you're recording, Anchor will just be like, oh no, we're not gonna play it. There's nothing there. But it is there, and so it should be there. If not, let me know and I will fix that on the next episode. But yeah, it's pretty awesome stuff. So I'm gonna get out of here. I will talk to everybody soon. I hope you all are doing well. Take care of yourselves. Take care of somebody else. And until next time, peace out.